grand perception comes reality. The apprentice, grand corruption. And the masterminds are mostly politicians and top public servants. So who will help initiate the prosecution? These persons. And don't forget, to prosecute an accused person, maintain, get the evidence, and to prove the guilt of the person beyond reasonable doubt, it's a Herculean task. And so he's a politician, a senior public servant, he can hire the best of lawyers, he knows very well how to move things. And so every day, the case gets stuck up in the courtroom. He goes home and we don't know when the case ended.
That's a scary assertion you make if the politicians and the top officials are manipulating the systems that will allow us to prosecute them. Then so we have a huge challenge.
Yes, that's the challenge. And putting on our hands, the calls are few. They are very limited in number. And if it is petty corruption, you'll be surprised that the case sometimes move faster than the ground corruption. Unless we are prepared to change our minds from these things, petty bribery. It is part of our DNA. You go to the hospital, you want to pay something to whatever is there to facilitate the movement to see a doctor in time. You want your child to get admission to Achimota. When you're at school, you want to pay. You are prepared to pay. You are pushing. So until we change ourselves, things will not change. Incidentally, the number of prosecutors in Ghana, that's attorney general, are very few. Let's take example of Yoko. Yoko has only one prosecutor, the whole of Yoko. And that prosecutor is seconded from attorney general, Ofori. So he moves from one court to another, one person. Incidentally, there are lawyers in Yoko. The attorney general by law is supposed to give them fiat to prosecute. And that's not forthcoming.
That was a private legal practitioner, Seydou Nasigri. President of Imani Africa, Franklin Cudjoe, cited officers created at the presidency as major sources of corruption in the country.
Of all the issues around grand corruption, we know the source is under procurement. But what do we do in this town? Up to now, we're actually justifying sole sourcing. And I've been asking myself, when the president came and told us, for instance, in the State of the Nation, that, oh, look at us, we are different. We've reduced sole sourcing from 90% to 50%. Then I asked,
we've saved 800 million.
What exactly are we procuring? Different sheets, bicycles, motorcycles. Yeah. These are not made from mass. The idea of sole sourcing is that it should be right. Besides that, it's probably agency. We branded buses under Mahama and saying that these buses needed to be identified for national security purposes. I mean, some of the banal things you hear for justification of sole sourcing, and that's the source of major corruption. The second point I also wanted to make closely related to the over-centralization of our politics. Take a look at the Office of Government Machinery, which includes the presidency, and any agency we don't have a clear role for, we dump it at the Office of Government Machinery. If you look consistently from President Kufuor's time, Mills' time, and even at Mahama's time, there were instances where the budget for that office overran by almost 200 million cedis. In the 2016 Auditor General's report, the office overran by 50-something million cedis. But did we learn? When we had the opportunity to give a budget to that office in 2017, we raised the bar by another 500 million cedis, 1.5 billion. In 2018, it's gone to 3 billion. If you look closely, there are elements of waste there. So I think that what has been done nicely is some, I call it officiating or officializing waste, which is a function of corruption.
For his part, a senior research fellow with the Center for Democratic Development, Dr. Kojo Asante, laid the blame on civil society organizations whom he said are not doing enough to expose corrupt officials.
In this discussion about corruption, we always have to try to break it down, because otherwise it looks like there's no answer. We have passed a lot of legislation, but the whole effort is to try to increase the risk of engaging. If it's so easy for people to engage in corruption, they would, if they get the opportunity, they would do that. But the laws we pass, we don't enforce it, right? So whether it's public procurement, sole sourcing, which is supposed to be the exception to the rule, restricted tender, and all of those things, they are all basically exceptions, and yet they become the norm. And now, doing competitive bidding is actually the exception to the rule. Now, why is that? You have to take a step back. In a democratic system, the lines of accountability starts with the politician. They get elected. They are supposed to have oversight over the bureaucracy to implement government business. Now, if the person goes to engage in elections and they sell their houses, they go borrow money, this is fact. People do all kinds of things to contest for elections. Once they get into office, the first thing they are looking for is procurement opportunities to either recover their investments or pay their creditors. If the senior bureaucrat is also seeing the opportunity that has been created, is willing to engage, the people who are down there, the internal auditor that needs to keep an eye on the process is compromised, the accountant is compromised, and it just goes down. So we have to go back to our monocracy.
At what point?
That's, you know, for me, I flagged that. I think we've had conversations in the past about state funding, campaign financing, and the fact that even just recently there was a case, Citizen Ghana Movement, won a case to get the compel the EC to actually publish the audited accounts of political parties, which is something that should be a matter of fact, but it's not done.
Those were panelists on GBC's Current Affairs program, Talking Points, which discussed corruption in Ghana.